All right, good morning. Thanks for having us out again this morning. And as I promised you last week, that we're going to talk about the engine of disciple making. In front of you have the diagram, the color diagram there. And today, just where we're going to be tracking is we're just going to make a brief statement about multiply. Hopefully a brief statement about assembly, and then we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of the discovery process, which that's what we'll spend the brunt of our time. The reason why I got both the gals up here is because they either are or have been doing discovery groups or planning on doing one, and so they've worked through a number of the things that we're going to share here this morning, and so I will share an insight, and then one of these two will pipe in briefly and give you some additional insights because, you know, they've been there, done that. So that's where we're headed. So, Father, thanks for this time together. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, just to come and permeate this place. And, Father, I pray that whatever you desire for us to hear from your Son, Jesus, that's what we hear and that's what we respond to. And in his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, if we could throw the scripture up on the screen there, that would be great. And the scripture I'm going to read this morning, which I'm not going to expound on, by the way, you're probably going, hip, hip, hooray. Acts 2, 37 through 47. So from New Living Translation, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, like Kenya, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, the reason why I selected this particular scripture is it encapsulizes a very simple definition of church. The word that stuck out to me here in this passage is the word devoted, okay? And so if you want to put it this way, they devoted themselves to Christ, they devoted themselves to the church, and they devoted themselves to the cause, Christ's cause. Or if you want to put it the spin on this way, this simple definition, kind of a Trinitarian way of looking at a simple definition of the church would be, they committed themselves to worship, they committed themselves to community, and then they committed themselves to mission. And so that's kind of encapsulizes a simple definition of what church is, okay? And I like simple myself because it's a little bit easier to do. Now, today you have a number of different sheets in front of you. What I want is to specifically go over some of the DNA of the discovery process. But before we do that, before we jump into that, Holly's going to share about multiplication. So.
Okay. Can you hear me? The idea behind multiplication is to get four generations. And what that means, it's not me having four different discovery groups. It's me having a discovery group, finding a person of peace who will then go out and have a discovery group. And then hopefully they find a person of peace in their group, and then they start a group, and so on and so forth for four generations. That's how you get, you know, how you get your multiplication. And it might take me having four groups to do that. You know, you maybe won't have one group and find that person, but ultimately that's the goal, to get four generations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about assemble? We're kind of doing things in reverse order here. So we did multiply and then assemble. So why don't you just share about the significance of assembling and doing the discovery process?
It makes people comfortable, the discovery process, because you already, you're picking people that already belong before they're believers, so they feel comfortable. They come to a home and share a meal together, where I invited one gal to the church, and you know what, she wasn't even going to get out of the car because it's the fear of the unknown. But when you share a meal together and meet at someone's house, it's very comfortable, and you have a cohesive group right away, and so they feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And why don't you just share that inviting people into the discovery process is really a efficient, what we call on-ramp, versus inviting someone to a Sunday morning service or to a church small group.
Yeah, at church, you know how it is. It's limited participation. You're basically being told what to believe. But at your discovery group, they take on the ownership because they're doing the actual reading and writing of the scripture and learning how to tell it in their own words. So it's very easy for them all the way around, and they enjoy talking with you, telling their challenges and you know, their celebrations, and praying for each other, and the group is just much more cohesive.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So in front of you, on the top of the page in red, should be the DNA of the discovery process. So first of all, we want to just give you some intro comments on this. And the genius of the discovery process is that the questions that are designed in here, there's seven or eight of them, are non-threatening and very simple, allowing everyone to share. Okay. And also, the questions are not overly religious or spiritual. They become foundational for developing a community, which was very, very important in the Acts 2 passage there. And Jennifer just related to how you belong first, you create this relational equity, and so it just lays a foundation for functioning as a community. All right, this format is consistent in every disciple-making movement, so there's no need to revamp or reinvent the wheel. Okay, so in other words, Aaron just got back from Kenya. As he went into a discovery group over there, this exact same format is used over there. In fact, it was developed in India and was brought into Africa and so forth. And so this format is time-tested, all right? It's about 30-plus years in terms of its functioning, and it's very, very effective. And so that's, I think, important to know. And then the simplicity of this format leads to, which I mentioned last week, if you can read it, you can lead it. Let's say that together. If you can read it, you can lead it. There we go. Okay. And so it's very easy to hand off the leadership to the next person who is going to be doing the facilitating of the group. Okay, so let's look at some specifics here. The reason why I'm giving you this DNA is that if you know anything about DNA, is what you start with is that you want to end with and be consistent with that. Okay, and so that's really, really important to understand just the whole process of the discovery process. Okay, let's just look at the questions under the review. So following up on last week's I will leads to encouragement and mutual accountability. And one of the things I like about you guys here is that you have to write out your I will statements right here in the service. And hopefully when you come back and you sit at the same table, you are being challenged to say, hey, how would you do with your I will that you wrote from the previous Sunday? That's accountability. And that's really, really an important foundational thing for this, because we want people to be encouraged, be held accountable for what they said that they were going to do in response to the Lord. You girls want to feed?
One thing is what we learned is how much do people retain from different sources of information within the next previous 24 hours or the following 24 hours. And if people go to church where they just sit and listen, they really only retain from a lecture about 5%. Whereas if they go and actually do something like your I will statement and you actually practice it, that retention is 90%. So to actually become engaged is very powerful.
So what you're saying then, Jennifer, is me being a lecturer, I'm not very effective, right? Is that what you just said?
95% not.
Yeah. I don't mind being embarrassed, you know. That is really true. And we could give you statistics further on that, but we'll just leave it at that. That is very, very true. Okay, the next item under review is communicating to the group regarding who you shared with during the week keeps a focus on outreach and mission. And so I shared last week that you can share your God story, share maybe a contemporary or current thing that God's doing in your life and that sort of thing. But it keeps the focus on outreach, you sharing things with other people outside of your group. All right, let's move on to relate. In relating, you see that there's a number of questions. There's three questions, actually, under this section here. Now, thankfulness leads to praise and worship. What I love about this format is that you can invite an unbeliever into this format, and you can very stealthily teach them how you do church. And you don't even have to mention the word church, which is really, really cool. And so when you have people talk about something that they're thankful for, it lays the foundation for them to worship Jesus in the future. Follow me on that? And so once again, it's like, all right, we're setting up a pattern here for people to worship the Lord. And foundational to worship the Lord is having a grateful heart. Okay? Now, sharing challenges with each other induces open, honest, transparent sharing with each other, which leads to caring relationships and praying for each other. And you girls care to, yeah, you want to turn on the mic? Yeah.
A good example of this is one of the people in our group, his parents had a house fire. And because he was in the group with us, you know, we were aware of that. We prayed for him, but also found out that they needed some things for the place where they were moving. And so I took care, you know, helped him out with a few things, but it's just you develop these relationships with people and you learn to care for them. And, you know, I think just them feeling that caring, especially for people who are not necessarily in the church or maybe have never felt that before, to have somebody pray for them. Just the impact it can have on people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Good example. Okay, and then the final point under relate there is identifying someone in need in the community leads to staying on mission and outward focus. You care to share anything on that?
Yeah, actually, well, yeah.
One of the people in our group, they were talking about a lady who was lonely, and we are planning on visiting that lady. She lives in another community, but we want to go bless her, bring her cards, and just visit her and spend time with her. She's in need. And what was great is that the person in our group saw that, and they knew that our group would rally around and actually put legs to it and do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's cool about that is that the facilitator, Jennifer being the facilitator, she didn't have to come up with, you know, finding somebody in need in the community. Someone in the group who was early on in the discovery process had already picked up, you know, the whole concept of us doing something as community, you know, this group together. And so it's very, very quickly developed in the discovery process, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at read, reread, and retell. Okay, the first point there is discovering truth on your own via the group is more powerful than simply being told the truth, okay? And I think Jennifer mentioned it before, where you belong before you believe. And also, too, is that people like to discover things on their own. In fact, Americans like that. And so if you help facilitate a person discovering that truth, it becomes an ownership in them. And actually, you don't have to tell them what to believe or what to trust or tell them what the truth is. It happens through the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. The three questions that are asked in this particular section here create spiritual hungry disciples who are self-feeding versus codependent connection with the facilitator. This is really muy importante. Because we tend to want to have people see us as the leader, and we're going to kind of like direct things and tell people what to do and that sort of thing. Well, in this process here, people develop a habit of discovering the truth themselves and coming up with outreach ideas, you know, on their own and that sort of thing, versus just simply relying on the facilitator of the group. So that's really important. The next point, repetition is a master of retention. Any of you who are school teachers out there, that's the truth, isn't it? And so one of the things that we do in front of you, you have a three-column study. Did Aaron show you what these are like at all? Three-column study. Okay, you see that in front of you? All right. And I'll tell you what Jennifer did. Before she even started her first group, she invited a bunch of people into the group. She assigned them the scripture, gave them this sheet, and had them do this exercise before they came to the first group, which was just really awesome. Jennifer, why don't you share a little bit about that?
They came to the first group, and right away they had to write their I will statement before they even came to the first group. So we got to jump in right away and talk about things, and they were participating right off the bat. They had to write down the exact scripture also, and some of them were a little lengthy as time went on, and I didn't want them to be discouraged. So I said, if you want to use your photocopier at work and just cut and paste it in on, that's fine. I just wanted them to have everything written down so that maybe, like, now that that group is over, if they ever wanted to refer, they would have the scripture, you know, there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the other thing with that is I just forgot. Oh, I know. So what happens is each one of the group becomes prepared, okay? They've written out the scripture. They've written out their retelling of the scripture, their I will, and who they're going to share with. So what happens is, like, for instance, with Heidi, she does her, I'm sorry, Heidi's back there. This is Holly.
anyway.
Holly right here. Yeah. She does her discovery group at work, okay, and during lunch. And so she only has X amount of minutes to do this in, and it's possible. But if you have the person do their three-column study before you have your group, well, it shortens up the time a lot, okay, because you don't have to spend a lot of time writing and that sort of thing in the group itself. And so it's very effective, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's just something about people writing out the scripture and then retelling it in their own words is something that just, there's a stickiness to it, you know? Okay. The other thing about read and reread and retelling is that it teaches people how to hear from the Lord and to respond to him on their own. Also, mutual sharing of insights from the passage with each other is highly beneficial. And this is something, yeah, oops.
This I thought was important. One of the rules of the group, when you talk about hearing, people say, well, how do you hear from God? How do you know he's speaking? And one of the rules is you cannot Google these. You can't Google what it's saying. Our rule was you just only read the scripture and listen. If you can't hear what God's saying, if you don't listen. So, the very first week right away, one of them said, Brenda Googled. And
someone ratted on her.
Somebody ratted her out. And I said, well, you know what? If you want to hear what God says, you can't go to Google, because who knows who's putting that information out on the internet. Yeah. So they learned that, yeah, you know what? They got a lot more out of it. And then when you go around the table and you ask everybody, what did you get out of it? You realize that God speaks to each person through that passage in a different way, mm-hmm. that God speaks specifically to you, which is why you don't want to Google it. Then they all would have had the same thing written down, whereas if they listen to God, they all are spoken to in a different way.
Yeah, and the other thing with that is we tend to be information-based, where it's like, oh, okay, I need to gather information about this text so I don't look like a stupid fool when I come to the group next time. I mean, basically, that's how we function in our culture, isn't it? You know, because information is power. What we want is not, you know, for them just simply to gather information. We want them to hear from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so it becomes a very personalized thing versus just a cranial vault. Exercise. Okay. All right. The next one I talked about last week, having the Lord reveal to us how he feels about people and changing our view about people and so forth. And then the final point is there that as we're seeing people in our text, we're actually looking in the mirror and seeing ourselves with that. And so it reveals how God views us. All right, the next one, respond. Okay, develops a hearing ear through the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures. We already mentioned on that a little bit. And then creating an I will statement helps a person to focus on specific steps of obedience instead of general sentimental mentality. I can't even say that word. But anyway, you know what it is. And information gathering, which I just alluded to a bit ago. We want the I will statement to be very, very specific, measurable, I got it written right down here, action oriented, realistic, and time bound. And so this would be very, very poor I will statement. I will be more kind this week. To your tree, to your cat, to the deer mount on the wall, what, you know? And so It's like what we want people to do is be more and more specific in terms of their I will, so that, oh yeah, I actually did it with my neighbor, you know, during this particular time. And that's really, really important, okay, in terms of your I will statement. You guys want to mention anything about that at all?
No?
Okay. All right. And then final point there is by stating who you will share with also helps focus on specific types of obedience, which leads to further disciple being, making and outward focus. All right. I'm going to conclude, and I know this feels like a fire hose to you guys, but my motive for kind of like giving you all this stuff is because we're all true blue Americans here, we want to know why this stuff works, okay? So I'm giving you the nuts and bolts of why this stuff works versus just saying, okay, here's the discovery process, go do it, all right? And I want to give you some rationale behind the why and wherefore, because it's working in so many other places in the world today besides North America and Europe, okay? All right. Let me close with this. Helps in facilitating a discovery group. Meet on their turf. She said, Jennifer mentioned about meeting at one of the gals' house with a meal and so forth, or a neutral location. Okay, facilitate, avoid at all costs becoming an answer man. I have crucified every one of the seven discovery groups that I started because people look to me as the answer man. And they would bombard me with questions. And I did everything. I pinched my leg. I bit my lip. I did everything trying not to answer their questions. And it just killed the discovery process once I started doing that. So try to avoid that as all possible. Okay? And by the way, if someone does come up with a question, just say, hey, could we get together at another time and we'll discuss that versus in the group? All right? And by the way, we're dealing primarily in this culture here, Roman Catholics and Lutherans, and they'll come up with all sorts of stuff from their church background in terms of, you know, what they have dealt with or are dealing with and that sort of thing. And so you want to address that in a different setting versus in the discovery group. Follow me on that? Okay, because that'll really get you off track. Okay, rotate leadership after a couple of sessions. Stick to working through the entire format. It's easy to get stuck on one or more of the areas, particularly on sharing your celebrations and challenges and that sort of thing. Keep passages as short as possible. Remember, they have to do their three-column study, and they will. Let me see. Doing the I will statements and sharing with others outside the group is crucial. These can easily be glossed over or minimized, and that's really true. And then finally, just trust the power of the scriptures and the presence of the Holy Spirit to do the instruction. Amen.
Amen.
But I got it all written out for you guys so you can take these sheets and say, ah, here's the rationale behind this. So, okay. So.
Can we go sit down? All right. Thank you, Pastor Ross and his team. Can we give him a round of applause? Thank you. I really appreciate you being here. The handouts that he mentioned have been posted on Facebook for those of you who are joining us live this morning. I'm also going to make sure that they're on our website so that they're easy for everyone to find. If you maybe don't have Facebook, so I'll make sure that those are there. They'll be on our homepage eventually. A couple other things before we're going to take a minute to reflect. Christmas Eve is coming up, December 24th. We have two services at 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. Our 6 p.m. service will be live streamed. We are asking, though, that you reserve if you're going to attend one of those in person, just so we have an idea as to how many people to expect. And we are limiting that number in this space right now. So again, if you plan on coming here to this building Christmas Eve at either 4 and 6, please go online and register for that. Rachel will also post a link in the chat if you are watching online. The other thing we have coming up is our holiday blood drive. That is December 29th. That will be from 2 to 4 p.m.
The blood center is still in desperate need of blood, so if you are able to donate, we would love for you to come. You can sign up online. Walk-ins are also welcome, but if you have a time that you would like to try to make that happen, please go online and sign up. Same thing, link will be in the chat. There's also a way to register on our website, newdaywi.com. So for the next 2 minutes, we're going to encourage you to just quietly spend some time with God. Ask him what he wants you to do this week. Write your I will statement. Mr. Tom has a comment. If you can't make it on the 29th for the blood drive, you can still go to the blood bank and you can donate there as well. Very good. And they're going to, yes, they will make sure that it is part of a new day, a part of our donations. But yes, that's a very good point. If you can't make it on the 29th, please encourage you to go and to donate blood there as well. Thank you. So again, next 2.5 minutes, we're going to take some time, talk to God. Write down that I will statement. What are you going to do this week? And we're just really encouraging you to put a lot of this into practice. So after those 2.5 minutes and that time of reflecting, Pastor Ross will come up and he will close us in prayer.
All right. Once again, I normally a preacher shouldn't get up and apologize for things. But I did feel like it was, oh man, a fire hose worth of information. But to really streamline this, I put a bookmarker out here. And you can use this bookmarker in your group. When these two gals started their discovery group, I had my administrator run these off, handed them out. They handed them out to the participants, and it's all self-contained. And one of the things here is we started out with Discovery Jesus. Typically in other cultures, they start out with creation and go to Christ. But because in our culture, people are somewhat familiar about Jesus, but might have all sorts of wrong info about him. So we start out with Jesus. So go ahead and use these. You know, they're very beneficial. So Father, just thank you for this morning. Just thank you, Lord, that you desire for us to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And Father, I pray that you just take this simple format and that you'd allow it to be multiplied in this place and throughout the Wausau area. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.